Let us pray. Almighty God, we ask you mercifully to look upon your people, that by your great goodness they may be governed and preserved evermore through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Rennie Alcorn shares a story about two twins having a conversation in their mother's womb. You know, one says, there's a whole world out there, grassy meadows and snowy mountains, splashing streams and waterfalls, horses and dogs and cats and whales and giraffes. There are skyscrapers and cities and people like us, only much bigger, playing games like football and baseball and volleyball and going to the beach. Are you crazy? The other twin responds. That's just wishful thinking. Everyone knows there's no life after birth. There is life after life, my friends. We believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We say it every week, but so very few rarely comprehend what we are saying. You see, contrary to a lot of public opinion and misconceptions, we do not become angels when we die. Angels are angels, and they are wonderful. We are human beings made in the Imago Dei, the image of God. Nor is the current heaven our final destination. It's just a layover to the new heaven and new earth to come. Although it's a lovely layover. You see, the life of the world to come that we proclaim every single week in the Nicene Creed is the final destination of new creation, where we will have glorious resurrection bodies. You see, long before Aladdin, the Bible sang a whole new world. And this is the Christian hope, my friends. Resurrection is the bedrock of our faith. It's what separates us from everyone else. And the only reason there is a future resurrection of the dead is because our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has already been raised from the dead. He was bodily raised, my brothers and sisters. And there are a lot of folks in our time who claim to be Christians but deny that Jesus was physically raised from the dead. What garbage! There are even bishops, priests, and theologians that spout this nonsense. They are heretics, every last one of them. They are not to be believed, for they are false teachers. And false teaching has been going around in the church for a very, very long time. Read the New Testament, you'll see what I'm talking about. Yet for those of us who believe in the Christian hope, the hope of the resurrection, take heart and rejoice. For you and I have union with the risen one. And because he was raised, we too will be raised on the last day. You see, the Christian hope is future-oriented because of this past historical event when Jesus conquered death on Easter morning. Hallelujah! He is risen!
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah!
Amen! The story we find ourselves in is not some make-believe fairy tale. It's rooted in history. It's rooted in time. It's rooted in space. And there is a time coming to us when we will be raised, when everyone will be raised, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting torment. And there is a space coming to us, the union of heaven and earth, where God will dwell with his people forever. This morning, let us examine the bedrock of our faith. Let us press in to our union with the risen one. So if you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Now, this past Easter in 2018... it fell on April 1st, which is April Fool's Day. Believe it or not, it's going to happen again in 2029. And I don't know about you, but I've played a lot of April Fool's jokes in my life. And I loved them, every single one. Yet the older I get, I find out that I don't like when jokes are played on me. But if Jesus Christ had not been raised, we are the poorest suckers in the whole wide world. If Jesus Christ had not been raised, we are the recipients of the cruelest April Fool's joke ever. This is the Apostle Paul's point to the church at Corinth. And here we can see yet another epic problem for this young church. Not only do they have spiritual pride, some are saying, hey, we've got Jesus, yes we do. We've got Jesus, how about you? Because they were looking down on other people because of spiritual gifts. Not only do they have sexual immorality going on, not only are they abusing Holy Communion, some of them do not even believe in the resurrection at all. What a messed up church. And if you do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead, what hope is there for us? This is how Paul begins. If there is not a future resurrection of the dead, then the Lord Jesus Christ has not been raised. If the Lord Jesus has not been raised, then guess what? We are still dead in our sins. And if we are dead in our sins, we are utterly and totally lost. Hasta la vista, baby. And if we are utterly and totally lost, then we are to be pitied above all peoples. So ha, 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 April Fools. Do you see how the resurrection is the bedrock to our faith? Do you see it with the eyes of your heart? But our faith is not rooted in fantasy, it's rooted in history. I love how Paul pivots in verse 20 when he says, but in fact. But in fact. In fact what? In fact, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and the future resurrection of the dead comes through him. For we are made alive in the risen one. We have union forever with the risen one, the one that death couldn't even keep down. Amen?
Amen.
This is it. This is it, guys. Yes, our faith is rooted in facts. Professor Thomas Arnold, author of the famous History of Rome, who was appointed chair of modern history at Oxford, had this to say about the resurrection. And listen in. It says, I have been used for many years to study the histories of other times and to examine and weigh the evidence of those who have written about them. And I know of no one fact in the history of mankind which has proved better and fuller evidence of every sort than the great sign which God hath given us, that Christ died and rose again from the dead. Another English scholar, Brooke Foss Westcott, commented, raking all the evidence together, it is not too much to say that there is no historical incident better or more variously supported than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is not an April Fool's joke. It is the bedrock of our faith. For as by a man came death, meaning Adam, by a man came also the resurrection of the dead, meaning Christ Jesus, the second Adam. You see, there are a plethora of religions in the world where you can go to the tombs of the religious leaders and you will see their bones. But when you go to Jesus' tomb, it's empty. He is risen. He is risen, and we have union with this risen one who makes us alive now in this life, but also in the life of the world to come. But let us gaze now as best as we can to that new world. And the lens we look through is none other than the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus. In a cemetery in Hanover, Germany, there is a grave on which were placed huge slabs of granite and marble. They were cemented there together and fastened with these heavy steel clasps. The grave belongs to a woman who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Yet oddly enough, she directed in her will that her grave be made so secure, so tight, that if there was a resurrection, it could not reach her. On her marker were inscribed these words, "This burial place must never be opened." But in time, one seed, covered over by the stones, began to grow. Slowly it pushed its way up through the soil and out beneath them. As the trunk enlarged, the great slabs of stone gradually shifted so that the steel clasps were wrenched from their sockets. That tiny seed had become a tree that had pushed aside the stones. My friends, the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus is the prototype for all of us that follow at the future resurrection of the dead. And just what could Jesus' resurrection body do? Let's take a quick look, shall we? After Jesus' resurrection, he could eat. He could eat, baby! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! The disciples gave him some broiled fish and watched him eat it. Do you like food? So do I. The best is yet to come. Holy guacamole! It's coming. Jesus showed the disciples his hands and his feet where he had been pierced. It's the same body, but it's also somehow glorified. It's somehow different. Even doubting Thomas touched him. Jesus walked on the road to Emmaus. He even went to the house where these two disciples were staying for the night. He sat down at table. He took bread and he blessed it. And my personal favorite from John's gospel, Jesus cooked breakfast for the disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, where he reinstated Peter. That's a great image, isn't it? How would you like Jesus cooking breakfast for you? But Jesus' resurrection body, though physical, could also do some incredible things that our physical bodies now cannot do. He could appear and disappear at will, even behind locked doors. But you see, the resurrection body of the Lord Jesus is not just spiritual, it is also a raised, glorified, physical body as well. And we have union with this risen one by faith. What dies and is put into the ground, our bodies, they're put into the ground in weakness, but they will be raised in glory. And I love Paul's imagery in chapter 15, if we continue on, about the seed. He writes, "What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." And like I just said, a spiritual body is also a physical one, just like Jesus' body. And this is wondrous. This is marvelous, and it is only possible for you and me because we have union with the risen one. Like the seed that unraveled the woman's grave in Germany and grew into a tree, our bodies will expire. They will become dust. Yet when they are raised in glory, they will be a wonder and a marvel to behold. For these new bodies will bear the image of the second Adam from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. For flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. But behold and marvel. Jesus makes all things new, even our bodies. Amen? Amen. But what about our loved ones who have fallen asleep in the Lord? I don't know about you, but I have some. They've gone to be with the Lord. They are with the Lord in the current heaven, but they long, like us here on earth, for the future resurrection of the dead. Why do they long for this? Because that is what our Father has promised us. A new world. And this is where the scripture passage for All Saints Day is helpful. So if you can, please turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. This is a wonderful passage. It's a wonderful chapter of scripture. Here we see the church triumphant in the current heaven, and the church militant here on earth. This is the whole mystical body of Christ. This is the communion of saints. This is the great cloud of witnesses. And when Jesus returns with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, the church triumphant will be the first to be raised to receive the resurrection bodies. Then the church militant on earth will be transformed, taken up to meet King Jesus. And listen in, because this is where a lot of people go crazy here. We all escort King Jesus back to earth for the final judgment. We're not just sucked up into a vacuum. We're taking up all the people of God, then escort King Jesus back to earth where he will judge everyone. And here's how my New Testament professor put it. God has blown the whistle. Everyone has to get out of the pool. And the goats will inherit and enter into eternity apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. An eternity apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the life giver, is what? Death. The sheep will reign and rule with him forever, though. And this is where we come to our final destination, my brothers and sisters. The layover has ended. The holiday has begun. We have finally reached our true eternal home. So turn with me even further in Revelation to chapter 21, verse 1. There John writes this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared or passed away. This, my friends, is why we say every single week, we believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And those with the Lord Jesus in the current heaven are longing for this world to come, just like we do here on earth. But sometimes it's hard to wait, isn't it? How many of you, when you were growing up and going on a car trip with your parents, asked, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" Every time I drive the family to Houston, my oldest son asks, "Why does it take such a long time?" In his mind, Houston is the promised land. He just can't wait to get there, and that's because that's where his grandparents are. And I try to tell him, Houston is just a swamp. But the whole way there, he keeps asking me, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Why does it take such a long time?" It takes such a long time concerning the future resurrection of the dead because love is patient and love is kind. Meaning God is allowing as many folks as possible to repent and turn to him through Jesus Christ. And Chris Tomlin did get it right. God is a good, good father. He is allowing the Holy Spirit and the church to work on mission. But eventually my professor is right as well. God will blow the whistle. And both those who have gone to be with the Lord and those here on earth will inherit what was promised to them. A new heaven and a new earth. The wait will be over. It will not disappoint. And this is what awaits you and me. Because we have union with the risen one. Amen?
Amen.
You see, the bedrock of our faith is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, my friends. And because we have union with the risen one, the best is still yet to come. I love C.S. Lewis and how he put this in The End of Narnia, in which each page is better than the one that came before. Each chapter is better than the one that came before. That's what we can expect. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty awesome. Fathom just for a second the depth of our union with Jesus Christ as much as we can in our finite minds. We have been baptized and immersed into Jesus' perfect life, whereby he fulfilled the law of God. We have union with this one. We also have union with this one in his perfect death. We have been baptized and immersed into the perfect death on the cross, whereby we have forgiveness of sins. And we have been baptized and immersed into his burial and into his perfect resurrection, which is a foretaste of the future resurrection to come. You see, the good news is about God's life for ours. He gives us the best. He gives us himself. Himself. And he doesn't just give us Jesus to say, "Hey, I love you." He also gives us himself by the Holy Spirit. This is our self-giving, self-loving God. What better way can he say, "I love you"? He's given you and me his son. He's given you and me his spirit. The good news is about God's life in our lives as well. A life-giving union that never stops, never abandons us, never forsakes us, and woos us to a whole new world. And you and I were meant for that world. It is coming regardless of what the naysayers say. It is coming, and no power of hell can hold it back. For who could ever deny the bridegroom of what he is preparing for his bride? We are the church, and this is what Jesus will say to his church. For at the resurrection of the dead, the fulfillment of this passage really rings out, really rings true, really rings clear. Rise up, my darling, rise up. Come away with me, my fair one. Look, the winter is past, and the rains are over and gone. The flowers are springing up. The season of singing birds has come, and the cooing of turtle doves is in the air. The fig trees are forming young fruit, and the fragrant grapevines are blossoming. Rise up, my darling. Come away with me, my fair one. My brothers and sisters, because Jesus lives, so shall we. So therefore, begin to live now. Now. For by faith, each of us has a life-giving union with the risen one already. Truly, truly live for him. With all that you've got, with all that you possess, show the world that is spiritually dead and passing away a glimmer and a fraction of the life and the light that which is to come. Live, I tell you. Live. Live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Live for the glory of our great and mighty God. Live and show everyone just how strong the bedrock of our faith really is. Death has been swallowed up in victory. It has been swallowed up because he has conquered it. Live out your life of union with the risen one. Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for your invitation to share in the one bread and the one cup. By your continuing grace, enable us to live as one family in Christ and joyfully to seek to bring your salvation to all who do not know you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.